This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Arms Length Reporting. For investors who want the whole story, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome into KER Politics. The entire show is going to be the McKinney-Corlin Show today. We're going to talk about a number of topics. The topic of normalcy in the country, topic of the competency of Biden, and the topic of what's going on in the Ukraine. And I also want to talk a little bit about the oath of office in America that presidents have to take. We're going to kind of work that into the first segment. Let's start right out with that, Jimmy. You know, got some really interesting comments yesterday from Jerry and also from Irish Tony about is Biden adhering to the oath of office that he took, back in a year ago, January. I would have to say that part of the oath of office, according to the Constitution, is to protect the sovereignty of our borders. I looked that up. I'm correct. I don't see Biden doing that. You got any comments?
Well, there's no question that he has ignored the sovereignty of this nation. And one of the key elements when he says that oath is to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and protect its citizens.
Yep.
Citizens are people that live here, that were born here, or that were born of American citizens from abroad. And when you begin to circumvent the basic values of your nation and the founding documents, like our Constitution, like the Declaration of Independence, in order to support foreigners and use the same values that you have there to defend the rights of non-citizens over the rights of citizens, you've lost sovereignty. And so, yeah, there's a very big question of whether or not this administration is actually trying to help American citizens and protect those businesses, those opportunities, the sovereignty and the tax base, you know, all the things that go into our daily lives in order to support our government. And fundamentally, it's a question of whether or not we are here to support the government or if the government is here to support us. My view is that what's happening right now in Washington with the Biden administration is they're looking at it like the rest of us are here to support the government and their ideology. And it's really based on how they can maintain, how this administration, how the Democratic Party can maintain power over the interests of American citizens.
You know, that makes all the sense in the world. I actually spent quite a bit of time last night when I was replying to that comment, going to Google and everything else, and it's pretty certain that it states in the competition. It states in the competition. There's a good way to bring this. The Constitution, it states in the Constitution that the president has to uphold the laws of the Constitution, and I kind of don't see that being done in some instances. Let's go to the second topic, Jimmy. The second topic is that we want normalcy in the United States. What does that mean in your opinion? And let's talk about how we're getting a little bit shortchanged on that.
Well, again, I think it relates back to the first question. You know, the normalcy to me is when our government is actually supporting the citizens' interests. And the citizens' interests are safety, security, opportunity, and not for others, not for other nations, but for Americans.
Right.
So the way I look at normalization is, you know, that when you follow the laws aren't there to make you make a more challenging life for you, but in order to protect you. And of course, we see that with the incredible increase in crime with these George Soros funded district attorney that are, you know, reducing restriction or taking away law enforcement activities. They're actually undermining the rule of law in America. That impacts people directly. You see it when the regulatory environment in Washington, D.C. restricts small business when the mandates and the lockdowns and the shutdowns actually keep people from being able to speak freely or talk to me or question the science or Fauci, when they're using law enforcement in order to achieve political ends rather than, rather than to the best interest of the American citizen. And so normalcy is going back to the rule of law, in my view, back to what exists on the books and protecting those foundational interests of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to live your life freely without the threat of intervention of government impact. The right to think and believe or do as you wish, as long as you're not someone else, freely without the threat of violence. And that's liberty. And, of course, the ability to improve your life and your family's lives and do better, that's the pursuit of happiness. Those fundamental principles are being lost because of political gain attempts, allowing open borders, allowing, these regulatory environments that restrict people from being able to speak, and then, of course, the censorship in order to protect dialogue that would actually impede their efforts to take control. And so, from my view, normalcy is getting back to those basic foundations and the rule of law and allowing those basic principles to be the way that we go. And this government is not doing it right now. And I'm sorry to say, it's sad to me to see it actually happen.
Yeah. Well, a really good example of what you're talking about is no law and order in the streets, for lack of better terms. About a year ago, we saw that in spades in Seattle. We saw it in Portland. We've seen it in Los Angeles. And we've certainly seen it in San Francisco. People actually were shot to death in the CHOP in Seattle during the rioting, and that is clearly against the law. Now, if the rioters want to protest peacefully, that's one thing, because that's entirely legal. But when the rioters are abusing private property, and they are breaking windows to get television sets and other and sundry items, etc., etc., that is clearly illegal. And that's one thing to pull. Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead.
No, I agree with you that in 2020, that entire summer was basically political operatives unleashing anger over fabricated narratives in order
right.
to intimidate and blame basically the sitting administration. And for, in some ways it worked, in other ways it really alienated people, but it created fear. And that's the method that authoritarians use in order to intimidate the population, to silence them, to be afraid. And you see it in spades when people are unwilling to speak out against the narrative of Black Lives Matter, or the narratives of Antifa, or the lockdowns of these issues. When you silence those voices, you're intimidating people into fear. And that's how authoritarians work. And that's what the Democratic Party is now suffering, in my view, suffering the consequences of unleashing hate and anger on the streets of America. And I pray and hope and pray and see a little ray of light that Americans are finally stepping up and saying, we've been given a line of bull in order for these guys to maintain power.
Right.
And unfortunately, it takes a lot. You got to go pretty far down to wake a lot of people up. But I think hopefully people are waking up and realizing that what has gone on is undermining basic rule of law, basic individual rights, taking away business opportunities, forcing people out of jobs because of vaccine mandates. These things are just basically absolutely unconstitutional and away from what the principles of this nation have ever been. And I'm glad to see that maybe the pushback is beginning to come.
Well, I think the pushback is beginning to come, but I do want to say one other thing. Protesting is a way of expressing an opinion, and that is totally legal by the Constitution, but it is not legal. It's right, but it is not legal to break windows of private property. It's not legal to certainly to kill people. It's not, violence is certainly not legal, physical violence, etc., etc., and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, quick commercial break. We're going to be right back. Stick around. Okay, hang on.
We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, back to the second segment of the KER report, politics, etc., etc. Going on to the subject of normalcy, we're going to wrap that up. Jimmy, as you know, this segment gives us about 8 minutes and 15 seconds. I think I would have to say normalcy in this country would be something like, let's take the CHOP in Seattle, for example, that area in central Seattle. violence would not have existed there. All of the protesters would have certainly been allowed to protest in a normal environment. I mean, hell, Jim, I protested during the Vietnam War before I became a little bit smarter. But, you know, there was no issue back in those days. It was all very much peaceful. Once emotions got out of hand, that people got killed. Kent State was a good example. 7 students, if I'm not mistaken, were shot and killed. Why did that happen in Kent State? It happened because it was perceived that they proposed a threat. Am I correct?
Well, I think it was a challenging issue. The National Guard was there pushing. I believe there were 4 killed in the event, but a number of injured. Basically, the threat of violence had expanded in the 1960s all around because of violent protests against the war and against the man, against, you know, law enforcement. You see that. My dad was a young police officer in Sacramento County at the time. You see a lot of violence that happened there. But the difference was that was there were smaller groups of people that were actually incredibly active. What you see with the media and basically institutional support in different cities from authorities that allowed this violence to get so damaging. Seattle's a perfect example. So, you know, this expanded because of support of the government. Back in the day, you know, in the 60s, Mayor Daley in Chicago, a Democrat, a big-time Democrat, said, if you see someone lighting a building on fire, kill them, shoot them. That was his orders because he did not believe that you should destroy personal property and ruin other people's lives. And unfortunately, some of the political leaders in some of these major urban areas have allowed this violence and, in fact, encouraged it. And, of course, some of our national political leaders, Nancy Pelosi, you name them, Chuck Schumer, lots of the leaders actually encouraged the violence. And the reason why is they wanted to get as many people as possible to undermine the administration so that they could take power and they could have a narrative that they could say for control. So that's something that we just, you know, that you see in third world countries that I've lived through in many places, in Bosnia and, of course, Republic of Georgia and Albania and former Soviet Union and, well, in many of these areas, you've seen the manipulation through the media. That's the problem. People supported that. And with the Kent State issue, it was kind of came to a head, you know. It really came to a head in that case and a number of other areas. And, you know, it's just unfortunate to see us repeat these really poor mistakes. The problem is, political leaders in the Democratic Party have actually exacerbated the problem in order for them to get power rather than protecting the individuals, the businesses, and their communities. And that's very clear in Chicago. It's very clear in New York. It's very clear all around the country.
Well, it gets pretty sad when the chief law enforcement officer of a major city like Seattle, the police chief, retires because she just kind of throws her hands up in the air and says, I'm not able to enforce the law. This country is based on the rule of law. She did nothing to offend, in my opinion, any of the violent, unlawful protesters. And she just finally threw her hands up in the air and said, I can't do this. As Mayor Jenny Durkan finally threw her hands up in the air and said, I'm unable to govern according to the rule of law, and so I'm not going to run for re-election. Be interesting to see how this new fellow does. You're on, Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to be very, it'll be very interesting to see what happens both in the primaries this year. Yeah, that's the key element to get people inside races, political races at the local and congressional level that actually support making America, keeping America stable, making America a better place rather than undermining it in order to achieve these political narratives. You cannot have the types of people that ignore it because of the system in the primaries, and then when you get just the two-party, you know, Democrat and Republican on either side that is kind of the milquetoast, you know, we're going to run with the system. That's the dangerous precedent that people have allowed to go forward because they don't get involved in the early understanding of what the political race is about. Hopefully we see a change with that. We see people more focused on protecting American citizens and the rights in the Constitution, get elected in office, or at least win primaries. And then if we see that in November, you should see a big change in the direction of America. And a lot of these globalist corporations and a lot of the people like George Soros that have been funding these these decriminalization district attorneys all around the country, you should see pushback against some of those. If not, then we're going to be in a very difficult situation for a long time in this nation, and it will have to continue to deteriorate even more before there's pushback. And the unfortunate part is we're facing some very serious challenges around the world, and with our administration basically flailing on most policies right now, this current administration and regime, you have to wonder how low American can go. And I really want to see a change, and I would like, and I'm going to do everything I can to try to inform people and help them get involved.
Jimmy, we've got about 3.5 minutes left here. Unfortunately, that's all for this particular segment. So let me ask you a question. I really believe that Seattle represents an excellent barometer of what's going on in the country politically. And in the last election in 21, it was pretty obvious that Seattle, that common sense ensued, and a number of, I would say, progressives remained in office, but also a number of conservatives took the office away from some of the progressives. The two most important things that happened, in my opinion, because of the environment, and is, I think, a real tribute to our free election system, is number one, the police chief resigned, and number two, Jenny Durkan elected to not take advantage of the political system in the United States and simply said, this is wrong. I can't enforce the laws either. I'm having no luck as the mayor of this particular city. That showed the public that it does have certainly the right to an opinion, and their opinion, I think, provided for constructive improvement in the Seattle area. Do you think that's going to happen, Jimmy, in the United States?
What?
As a whole?
I certainly hope so. Seattle's a small barometer, but it's a very unique place. You know,
yes, it is.
A very ideologically, very, you know, it's somewhat interesting to me to listen to the screaming and the yelling about Black Lives Matter in a Seattle that's like 90% white,
right.
You know, a small Hispanic community.
Right.
And, it's basically liberal ideologues that are basically probably racist because somehow they think that they're better than the black community.
Yep. But we are done
they're
with that.
Pushing these ideologues.
Right, but we're done with that, and Seattle's on the way to improvement. Ladies and gentlemen, top of the hour news. Jim and I are going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
To the fullest extent possible, stay off the roads.
A powerful nor'easter continuing to barrel its way up the east coast towards the northeast and eventually southern New England, which is expected to get as much as 3 feet of snow in spots. The governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, saying last night,
going to be a very big storm, probably one of the biggest we've experienced in the last few years. Conditions are expected to make travel nearly impossible, and we're urging everyone to stay home.
Because of this storm, over 6,000 flights had been canceled already for Saturday as of earlier in the morning. That's according to FlightAware. A House committee investigating last year's Capitol attack now sending more subpoenas out to another dozen or so people accused of an electoral vote scheme. And this is USA Radio News. Notes recently obtained from an early 2020 meeting involving Dr. Anthony Fauci and virologists worldwide revealed that Dr. Fauci was told to suppress lab leak theories about COVID to maintain good relations with China. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio making it clear he's never been a Fauci fan and says in this case, if the reports are true, it means Fauci did not bring all of his knowledge of a possible lab leak to the White House.
He should have went straight to the President of the United States, but we know he didn't do that. You had Mick Mulvaney on just a couple days ago, and Mick said that didn't happen. In fact, just the opposite. He tried to cover it up and hide it.
The White House launched a program that will send millions of free COVID tests to households across the nation, and they say 60 million have already used the government's website, covidtests.gov, to order some. You can also go online to find us at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
In the United States, heart failure impacts more than 6 million adults, leading to about 1 million hospitalizations each year. Heart failure is a long-lasting condition in which the heart is unable to pump enough blood to meet the body's needs for blood and oxygen. But there are things people can do in consultation with their healthcare provider to help manage their disease. This is true for Ray, who is currently living with heart failure.
I find that communications with my doctors is key. This includes notifying them of any changes in heart failure symptoms and listening to their advice.
To help support people living with heart failure by providing educational resources, Merck, in collaboration with Mended Hearts, has introduced At the Heart of the Matter, Moving Forward After Your Heart Failure Hospitalization.
While it can be discouraging at first to hear that you have heart failure, you eventually find out you aren't alone in this journey.
Learn more, know more. Visit attheheartofthematter.com for more information. This segment is brought to you by Merck.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the top of the hour news. I don't enjoy listening to the news anymore, but what the hell, that's just me. Having said that, we're going to talk a little bit about the competency of Joe Biden, and I mean the mental competency of Joe Biden in this particular interest. Remember, these are opinions coming from myself and coming from Jim. You have to realize where I'm coming from. Joe Biden is a year older than I am. I am 78 right now, and I would have to tell you, I would not accept the responsibility of being the president of the most important and largest at this point in time country in the United States. I could not handle it. Jimmy, what do you think?
During the primary campaign, Joe Biden, on numerous occasions, made significant gaffes. And, in fact, even the other Democratic candidates in debates openly called him out. One in particular was Kamala Harris. She, one, called him a racist, and two, questioned his mental competency. Pete Buttigieg questioned his mental competency. Cory Booker questions his mental competency. But then you see this move in South Carolina where Jim Clyburn, the congressman in South Carolina, pulled the black vote behind Joe Biden, and of course the push to pretend that he was a moderate Democrat in order to basically pull the wool over America's eyes to say this is the guy that's going to be the good old grandpa that's going to help America get back to normalcy, you know, away from the craziness of the Trump administration. But what we're finding now on numerous occasions in both public press conferences and in private meetings, Joe Biden has made incredibly bad blunders, primarily because of his ability to cognitively think. And of course, he's actually made some out-and-out lying statements about being a commercial truck driver, about you know, there's all kinds of events that he's made up these lies, which he's done since he was voted into the Senate in the 70s. So his competency and his trustworthiness has been hidden by the media, by the Democratic Party, but now facing the world, on the world stage, it's becoming quite apparent. And many of our allies are openly questioning his competency, especially former East Bloc countries in Europe, you know, new members of the EU and new members of NATO. They just don't trust him, and the old members are somewhat laughing at him, and some of them aren't even meeting with him. So there are very specific instances where Joe Biden's competency has been questioned, where he's made very serious mistakes, and his ability to lead the country is very much in question. But of course, leading the free world is even a bigger responsibility. And as we face some of the issues with Ukraine, with China, with Iran, with North Korea, as well as the economic challenges and the border challenges, you really got to wonder who's in charge in America right now.
Well, I have to say that I feel sorry for the guy because of what you just said. Who's in charge of running America right now? And that's going to kind of bring us into the next issue. But I want to finish on this one right now. Everything else you want to say about the competency situation?
Well, let's talk a couple of specific instances.
Okay.
And I think the most important one that really changed the dynamic was this summer in the July-August time frame, when Joe Biden and his national security staff talked about the withdrawal of Afghanistan and made these deadlines to withdraw American forces, and then publicly stated that as the Taliban was gaining ground because of the withdrawal of U.S. forces, that first of all, that the government would not collapse, that the Afghan government would not collapse, that the Afghan army would fight, and then that we would not have an evacuation that was embarrassing. And he made those statements within days of a collapse, within days of actually having to evacuate like Saigon, you know, like Saigon, after he said, no way, this would not happen. That woke Americans up, and it woke the rest of the world up, especially our NATO allies, who were left stranded because of the logistics capabilities of the United States and the immediate walkout and the failure to stop the advancing Taliban in order to give space to evacuate American citizens and allies. That woke Americans up. And then his inability to actually competently make decisions and then present them to the American public that's a very specific case where I think is a turning point with even his own party, where people began not to trust him. And of course, now you're seeing numerous cases where he's fumbling in press conferences, when he's unable to complete a sentence, or even remember, just a couple of days ago, he couldn't even remember what to talk about with the electric vehicles in Detroit and driving the Humvee. He stammered and mumbled, and of course pushing different agendas that somebody's feeding him. And it's so incoherent, so inconsistent, that it's really putting him, and you know, I agree with you, Al, you know, I'm a bit of, feel sorry for him, but I actually think there are certain people behind this that really are responsible for it. And I'll give you one person that I think is absolutely responsible and knew better, but is pushing for her own agenda, and that's Jill Biden.
Yeah.
Jill Biden allowed her husband to go through this process in spite of his diminishing capacity for her own benefit and the power that came along with it. Very much like Mueller's family allowing him to take responsibility for the Mueller investigation, for the Russian collusion issues. He was not competent. It was proven in the testimony that he should have never been there, but his family allowed him to go forward with it. And I think that is the most embarrassing and also the most disturbing part about it, where people who knew, Democrat leaders, they knew what Joe Biden has always been like, but they used him as a pawn and a tool for their own personal gain. And that's not good for America. It's certainly not good for Joe Biden.
No, it really is. I don't think he's a bad guy. I will say one thing. Don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to try to keep this on schedule.
Sure, yeah.
I thought he did a pretty credible job in the press conference. Personally, I actually kind of enjoyed that, and that's when I really began to feel sorry for him. I mean, he might have made a few gaffes, but I thought he was okay. Want to get into the next subject, which I think is really important, and that is, we have an appointment coming up that Biden is going to have to make, and that's going to become for the next member of Scotia's, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. There is some discussion right now that perhaps Kamala Harris will be appointed, and whether or not that happens, that would obviously mean that the next appointment that Biden would have to make would be for the Vice President of the United States. It strikes me that this would fit right into the plan of his handlers, that Kamala Harris was effective as a running mate because of her background, etc., etc. But if they were, if the handlers were really looking for, and I see I'm getting short on time here, if the handlers were really looking for example, Pelosi at the age of 82 to become the vice president, or Chuck Schumer to become the vice president, this would be an excellent way to do it, because then in the next major election, guess what? Let's say it's Schumer, for an example. It could be Biden, Schumer, and that would be a great way for people, for the handlers, to get Biden back in office and to get Chuck Schumer, who I think is a pretty unlikable guy, in there as vice president. And if something during that particular term happened to Joe Biden, or he either had to resign or was forced to resign, then Chuck Schumer could obviously take over. That would not make me necessarily unhappy. You know, Jim, we've only got here about 20 seconds here, so let me blather a bit for 20 seconds, and then let's get into this, your opinion on this, right after the commercial break. Again, I think Joe Biden is being taken advantage of. As a human being, I think he is simply being taken advantage of. You guys, let's see what Jimmy thinks. We're going to be right back in 30 seconds.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Al Averoa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500 and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Okay, Mr. McKinney, what do you think about my hypothesis?
Well, I believe that the... I think you're right. People are speculating on how to kind of somehow pull Kamala Harris out of the position because she really is a liability at this point. Her staff is not functioning well. Her inability to deal with the border crisis, the responsibilities that she's been placed on her, she's failing at all across the board, and she's not likable. Americans aren't going to vote for her. She's not going to do well in a presidential election in 3 years. So what do they do? Now, you talk about Pelosi and Schumer. Pelosi has announced she's going to run for re-election. Now, she right now is third in line to the presidency.
Right.
Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, if something fails, or say Republicans get massive wins this November election in the House and the Senate, then the real possibility of, you know, payback and impeachment is there for Joe Biden. And that way, you know, it puts Nancy Pelosi in a position where she could potentially be president. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, I think, are both not only too old, but they represent very small constituencies that are very far on the left, New York, San Francisco area. They're not going to do real well in a national election. So what do I think is probably going on in the background? If the Democratic Party does try to push Kamala Harris, and who knows if that's going to be the case, you know, as a black woman to meet the requirement as a Supreme Court nominee, one, she can't vote for herself in the Senate, even and she can't vote for anybody else according to the rules and the regulations. So that's a 50-50 split. She might be able to get enough support for the position, but it'd be very questionable. But that may be an opportunity. Here's what I would think would happen, that actually Joe Biden, the Democratic Party, would put a name that is known, that has support all over or around the nation from the Democrats, that looks like moderate, that has competency in foreign policy issues, Hillary Clinton as the vice presidential nominee to fill, or candidate to fill, Kamala Harris. And then Joe Biden could back out gracefully before the 2024 election, or if he just fails completely, then Hillary Clinton becomes the first woman president. And I think there's probably some maneuvering around in the backs of some people's minds and maybe in the front of the Democratic Party to make something like that happen. Not to say that it will, but I certainly realize that that's a big possibility, and a lot of people should think about that as a possibility.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, that's something I never thought of. I thought that Hillary was just simply too disliked at this moment in time. But you know what? That would definitely get the entire Democratic Party behind a ticket. And I think that would make a lot of people, quite frankly, very, very happy. And it wouldn't really necessarily make me happy, only because I'm not a real big fan of the Clinton families. But I would say this. It would certainly take the progressives out of the picture, because say what you want about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is a very ambitious woman, and I don't fault her for that, but I have to say this. She is definitely not a progressive, and the progressives would be basically out of luck if Hillary were the vice president and something happened to Joe and Hillary took over as a president. What are your comments on that, Jim?
So I think that the progressives right now do dictate the direction of the Democratic Party.
Right.
They're the ones that are in control. So,
agreed.
So there's a dilemma that the Democrats have right now. Okay, the more moderates, which is what you need to win a national election, and that's how Joe Biden, you know, if in fact he got 81 million votes, I still question that. If in fact he did, it was capturing the independents and the moderates to say, yeah, this is how we're going to stabilize and normalize the nation. What will have to happen in the Democratic Party will be exactly somewhat that's happening in the Republican Party. And that's kind of a cleansing of those ideologues on the extreme left to get back to the middle. Now, the difference with the Republican Party is actually kind of purging the never Trumpers, if you will, or they're purging the people that have believed in the system over the American people. So you've got these conflicts in both major political parties right now, and it's going to be very interesting to see which power elements come out on top. Right now, on the Republican side, America first, Trump supporting ideologues, people that look at America, not so much because they believe in Trump is a great guy, but because they really believe in America and they believe in trying to get back normalcy and those things we talked about in the first segment, some sort of normalcy in the constitutional rule of law. Those people are in the power position. The progressives are in the power position on the left. If, in fact, these two struggles continue down the road, it'll be interesting to see which carry the day. And my belief is the average American still believes that men are men and women are women. They believe in protecting our border. They believe
right.
that America should have manufacturing. They believe that we should, you know, protect individual rights, that we should... Most Americans still support the Second Amendment. There's a lot of issues, constitutional issues that Americans support. So I do believe that is the group that will prevail, and I think on the right, and I think on the left, they're going to, in order to take control, they're going to have to do some sort of a purge of the AOCs, the Cori Bushes, the extremists on the left. And that's going to be an interesting fight. And I think Hillary Clinton would be one to do it. But I really don't see another charismatic leader in the Democratic Party that actually has the ability to make it. I think they're in a real difficult position. They don't have good leadership right now.
I think you're kind of agreeing with me, Jimmy. Jimmy, let's get on to the next topic. And the next topic is what's going on in the Ukraine as far as both Russia and NATO are concerned.
Yeah, this is a very complex problem. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but here's some things that most of our listeners don't realize and many of the people publicly don't realize. So in 1989, when the fall of the wall, and then in 1991, the fall of the Soviet Union, there were some deals made but with the Americans and NATO with former Soviet republics. Ukraine was one of them. Ukraine had nuclear weapons. The Bush administration and the Clinton administration provided guarantees that they would assist in the security of Ukraine if Ukraine would relinquish those nuclear weapons for a more stable world and a stable government. Those obligations are now being tested as the Russians put pressure to take a corridor in East Ukraine in order to resupply the Crimea and to be able to, the Black Sea Fleet that controls the only year-round warm water port that the Russians have. And that's a critical strategic element for them. So these two issues are a conflict. And of course, it's causing a big problem with NATO right now and NATO partnership. And the Biden administration is flailing desperately on how to deal with this very, very challenging situation.
To be honest with you, I don't think the administration is going to have to deal with it at all. I have a lot of respect for the ability of Vladimir Putin. I really do. And I don't think he's going to do anything in this case. If he does, it's going to be a highly calculated move. And it's going to be a move that will probably not take place in the what I would call immediate future. Near future, yes. Immediate future, no.
Well, so here's the deal. I ran the Security Assistance Program in the Republic of Georgia. I opened the office there, and I mentioned this earlier on a daily editorial. But I gave a warning to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Eurasia, Jeff Starr, and to Ambassador Ken Yalowitz in 2001 that if we continued on the support of the Georgian government just before the Georgians were able to secure their own borders and protect three lines of corridor communications, basically transportation routes that would be able to protect them in the Baku-Tbilisi-Jehan pipeline that was going through Georgia, the moment just before they were capable of doing that, the Russians would invade. In 2008, that happened. The Russians look at this as a chess game. They look at it global as like a game of risk. They cannot relinquish their capacity to have power projection from the Black Sea Fleet in the Crimean Peninsula. They need to be able to resupply that. NATO expansion would stop that. They are deathly afraid of that. The corrupt regime is afraid of that. And they are going to play this until they act in order to get a corridor along that eastern Ukraine. I've studied them my entire lives, or my adult life, as a Russian linguist and a Russian foreign area officer, and they're playing a game that they understand very well, and the West does not.
Interesting comments on the Ukraine. Clinton and Biden. Interesting, but I think it could work for them.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.